Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everyone here. I was preparing last week to do the show. I was going to open with the latest civil massacre. I think that's what... I don't like mass shooting because it's not horrible enough. So I think this was a civil massacre. Last week I was going to open up with the latest civil massacre, but another one happened while I was trying to prepare for the show, so I just gave up because I couldn't keep up. And I didn't want to sound like I was behind by the time I went to air. And so, not to timestamp exactly when this show was recorded, but the latest civil massacre I'm aware of is the guy in the Dodge Charger in Allen, Texas, where so far 8 or 9 were slaughtered. I don't know if they're including the killer in that. They probably are. But that's the latest one I'm aware of. It was in Allen, Texas at the mall. Last week I mentioned that we can't really go into the grocery store, or I never go into the grocery store anymore without thinking about someone opening fire on us. I think about that every time I go in now. And so the mall, same thing. I don't go to the mall. If I do go to the mall, I will think about that as I cross the threshold into the mall. Gee, I wonder if there's going to be a massacre. I hope not while I'm at the mall, while my kids are at the mall. Anyway, Allen, Texas is one of the upscale northern suburbs of Dallas. It's not the rough part of town. It's the nice part of town. So that's the last civil massacre I'm aware of. If there's another one that's in the headlines by the time you hear this, it's just because no one can keep up. That's all. And it is infuriating. It's not saddening. It's not heartbreaking. It's infuriating. And so let's just go on to, since there's not much I can do except I wear body armor to the mall is, I guess, all we can hope to do. Let's move on to the, let's go to the banking collapse in the Real Money file. From the Real Money file, the three big banks that have so far collapsed in 2023, according to discernreport.com, account for more assets than all of the 25 banks that collapsed back in 2008. The banking collapse so far is bigger than 2008 already, and it's only beginning. Now, the U.S. Treasury is telling us that the U.S. banking system remains sound and resilient. Okay. So when they start saying sound and resilient, just keep your powder dry. That's all. I hope you don't have large deposits in small to mid-sized regional banks. If you do, my advice would be consider something else. We have all of our money in one of the big mega, super mega banks. I think the Antichrist is the chairman of the board at the bank where all of our money is. So that money will be secure for the moment. We'll see. The Discern report goes on, the collapse of commercial real estate threatens to create a massive tsunami of defaults. This is the big story that's coming. As commercial real estate loans go bad, more banks are going to collapse. The two big to fail banks, which is where we have our money, in one of the two big to fail banks. Those two big to fail banks will scoop up the banks they like. The others will simply be liquidated and sold off in a fire sale. A wave of consolidation in the banking industry like we've never seen before is how the reporter at Discern Report describes what's happening. And then I go over to another report from a few days later on Discern.tv. More bank failures are imminent. Once the small and mid-sized banks are destroyed, the powers that be will initiate the final collapse of the dollar and attempt to force everyone into a CBDC. central bank digital currency, which will be the, they call it the final nail in the coffin of human freedom. I scratched out final and I put the latest. It's the latest nail in the coffin. Not the final nail, because they'll keep driving nails as long as they're allowed to do so. And apparently they will be. Finally, one more. Listen to this from Discern Report again. They're the only ones reporting on this, apparently. Although I'm sure I've seen hints of it elsewhere, they seem to be doing the best job. At this stage, says discernreport.com, D-I-S-C-E-R-N report.com. At this stage, very few banks are truly safe. The banking crisis is far from over. It's just beginning. And this is just one element of the broader social meltdown that we are currently witnessing. Events are starting to move very rapidly now, and very dark days are ahead, says the author, a gentleman named Michael. And then at the end of the story, there's a tag. Michael's new book, entitled End Times, is now available. Anyway, End Times. Okay, well, the end times of America, the end times of the American banking system, those, I think that's a credible calculation that we're close to the end times of one of those. And you know, Christians have been predicting that we're in the end times since before I was born. And eventually, one of them is going to be right. Eventually. And I'm okay with that, actually. I'm okay with that. So meanwhile, speaking of the end times, let's go to a red line from Breitbart. They report that the Chinese government-run Global Times newspaper has described the drone strike on the Kremlin as having crossed a red line. And they're simply recognizing the reality that when you send a drone over the Kremlin, you've crossed a red line. Yeah. Now, Western news media sources, who are all aligned in promoting the war in Ukraine, are reporting that it looks like it's Russian disinformation. That's right, that Putin staged a false flag drone strike over his own Kremlin because, well, he's unstable, he's insane, he's a madman, is what it must be. Anyway, he'd have to be a madman to want to project an image of weakness that a drone can make it through over the Kremlin and then it just barely gets knocked out at the last second. He would have to be crazy to want to project that image, but all of the Western media says, well, he's obviously crazy and it's a false flag. There's no way that Zelensky and Obama and Biden executed that drone strike against the Kremlin. There's no way NATO did that. That's not possible. So I would assert that NATO is the organization that launched the drone strike over the Kremlin. Because why? Well, there's a logical reason. Now, for Putin to have done it, there's no logical reason. But for NATO, there is, because they're hell-bent on pushing Putin to nuke something, anything. They just want to get him to nuke something. Now, NATO is already using depleted uranium weapons against Russia. So technically, NATO has laid down the nuke card first, at least technically. But they really want Putin to go berserk and nuke something. And it seems like this past week they were willing to take a shot at his head in order to provoke the next big escalation in the war that, for whatever reason, the Western powers and NATO want to escalate. But they should be careful with Putin, Joe, Barry. Just be careful, because it's well known that with Putin, he prefers poison over explosive when things start to get personal, you know? This would be very terrible for you to have boils erupt on your skin, Mr. Obama. This would be bad. Joe, have another drink. Here, let me put some ice. Oh, my goodness. What is this blood coming out of your ears? This is terrible. It would be a shame for something to happen to you like this. All right. Okay. So from the red line over the Kremlin, that was shocking to me, by the way. Almost as shocking as watching King George be coronated. I watched parts of it. I must say I didn't watch it like I might have watched something else in the past with the royal family, because Prince Charles just has always been very distasteful for me. You know, ever since he... It's just the whole thing. I mean, his whole body of work is repulsive. So to see him and the chick he was shacking up with get coronated, it was just, I couldn't watch. But I saw pictures of it. And I will point out one thing, that an axiom of my extremely attractive audio engineer that definitely came across in the coronation is that all other monarchs appear fake next to the British. I mean, the British, I mean, when you look at the king and the crown and the whole thing and the carriage, that looks like a real monarchy. Everything else looks fake. You know, it's like every other military uniform except the United States Marine Corps just looks, I mean, come on. You're just not pulling it off. I'm sorry. But anyway, the British definitely know how to do monarchy, and it looks legit. But from there, in fact, we're going to go down. Britain has pulled out of the EU, at least ostensibly. So let's go across the channel into the death cult file, where the European Commission has approved the buyout of farmers. That's right. Farmers who don't want to stop farming, the government's going to make them stop farming. Why? To protect the environment. That's what they want to drive down nitrogen emissions. So they plan to offer farmers somewhere between 100 and 120% of the value of their farms so that they can shut down what they call our 3,000 high emission farms. These are farms that put out high emissions. They also put out high quantities of food for people to eat. But the death cult in charge of the they don't care. They're fine with seeing the average Joe starve. They're fine with that. In fact, I think they get excited by thinking about people starving to death and how that will help ameliorate their guilt over all their sins as all the peasants die paying for their sins. It's their twisted, sick death cult religion. Anyway, so this has been approved by some committee there, and now the buyout scheme itself has to be managed at the provincial level. So someone has to actually go in and actually make the farmers take the money and actually physically remove them. And a lot of these farmers have loaded up their tractor and drove into the capital and made it be known that they don't plan on stopping farming. And so now the government has the right to eminent domain. If there has to be a dam, if there has to be a bridge, the government has the right to buy people out and make them move for infrastructure and things like that. So again, this is the corruption of a legitimate function of government by a criminally insane, demented pile of sex perverts who've somehow seized power across the globe, and it's terrifying. And folks, if this does not if this violation of God-given rights of farmers does not ignite civil disobedience on a scale never before seen in Europe. There should be civil disobedience on a scale that literally shuts down Europe. And if that doesn't happen, yep, I'm talking the biggest mass civil disobedience since the Reformation is what's called for here. And if that doesn't happen, well, it's 1,000 years of darkness for Europe. 1,000 years of darkness, because the communists, the Marxists, who've been licking their chops and just waiting in the wings while the people perverted themselves with sexual immorality and corruption and became weak, and all the men became queers, and all the women just became toys, self-indulgent, vapid, weak, corrupt. They've just been waiting for their chance. And if they're able to do this against the farmers, who are some of the few who probably preserved themselves from the cultural rot that threatens the foundations of Europe, well, if it doesn't make them act, it's 1,000 years of darkness. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for hanging with us, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go out to California, where, speaking of 1,000 years of darkness, we have a story from Fox News, who reports all the news that's fit to print, fitted to be tied, to be fitted exactly to the narrative Fox News does. And so they made sure to splash this big headline up this morning, just as was intended by those who arranged for this event to happen out in California. The Reparations Task Force has voted to recommend that the state offer up to $1.2 million to every black person in California. Well, so it's not quite exactly that. Well, the headline says $1.2 million to every black resident. That's what it says. But if you read the fine print in the story, it says, well, it's up to $1.2 million, and it's only for qualifying black residents. And then it goes through the list of how you qualify, and you stand in line, you fill out the forms, and you make the claims, and blah, blah, blah. And so the task force is a 9-member panel. Nine, yeah. Called on the state to offer black residents a formal apology in addition to the money. But the formal apology can't be foregone if they just give us the money. Yes. The formal apology is, yeah, that will be forthcoming. Now, how the state of California apologizes when it was never a slave state, I'm not sure, but, oh, I know. They have to apologize for the institutional racism that bled over into everywhere from, you know, just being white means you were a slaveholder because, you know, of the institutional angle of all of that. So here we have a quote now from Representative Barbara Lee, a Marxist maniac, criminally insane sex pervert who somehow seized power in California as a congressional representative. Somehow she attended the meeting where the vote took place, and at the end she said, quote, reparations are not only morally justifiable, but they have the potential to address long-standing racial disparities and inequalities, unquote. At which point, someone should have just slapped her in the face, put her in handcuffs, and hauled her off to jail for inciting insurrection. That's what this is, by the way. This is the incitement of insurrection. And the sad, scary part is it's being done by people who already hold office. So they're insurrecting against someone other than the just governing powers. So when the government starts doing evil in order to stir the people up into civil war, then the government is committing insurrection against the God who ordained their offices. And they are in rebellion. And they're not authorized to rebel. But here they are. They're doing it. So the panel, now their vote is only a recommendation. It's only a recommendation. And it doesn't have any legal weight, according to Fox News. And that's true, right? Legally, this is of no legal significance. But the people who organized this vote and the people who facilitated this headline, all they wanted was the headline. They don't care about legal weight. They don't need legal weight because they know the Marxist insurrectionists hell-bent on taking down America, they know that you don't need legal weight when you've got social weight. That's right. Now you've got the headline. So now you've created the covetousness in the hearts of one segment of the population against another. That's what they wanted. And Fox News got right in line and put up the headline. Panel approves payment of $1.2 million to every black resident. Fox News should be ashamed of themselves for reporting this. It should not be reported. It has no legal weight. It's meaningless. It's only meant to sow civil strife. But, you know, that drives ratings. And Fox News, they're in need of some ratings. They've lost some market share there. So they go right along with the narrative, pumping up the Civil War. And Fox News, they know, I'm sure, that the Marxist, criminally insane sex cult that's running the government, they have shock troops ready across the country. I mean, the shock troops stood up already in the subways out in New York, right? And they'll start. The shock troops will start appearing, starting maybe in the subways in New York this time. And the Marxist puppeteers of this panel in California and the BLM and the Antifa, they'll execute the next wave of battles in the insurrection. An insurrection against the God who ordained the offices that these people hold. Although these creep sex perverts in the reparations task force, they don't even hold any legitimate office. But the governor who appointed them, he holds a legitimate office that was ordained by God, and he's going to pay for what he's doing here. When he stands in the great judgment, he's going to be driven down into a particularly hot and painful portion of hell because he fomented civil strife among people for his own benefit. Instead of carrying out the just governing machinations that he's authorized to do and obligated to do, instead, he used his power to turn people against each other and to make them war against each other. And for that, Gavin Newsom, you're going to a particularly hot part of hell. I can only pray that somehow your career is collapsed in some sort of scandal before that happens. So number one, because I want you out of office. That's the number one reason. I no longer want you to be an example to anyone interested in governing anything. So that would be my primary, but then also because maybe if your career was collapsed in some sort of horrible scandal and you suffered brutally and miserably, that you might repent. Because even Gavin Newsom could find forgiveness. It's possible. Highly unlikely, possible. What needs to happen, though, is he needs to be taken down. Because rarely does a man come to repentance until he falls. All right, so meanwhile, now we go from 1,000 years of darkness in California to, okay, this is the politics file. Again, another Fox News story. That's coming from Fox News. We're covering the news on the right. We're on the right here at Fox. So they have the big headline. Whistleblower alleges FBI and DOJ have document revealing criminal scheme involving Biden. And the conservative pundits, I can hear them already as the week unfolds. Well, finally, even the government can't deny that Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, bribery and schemes, influence peddling and blah, 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 blah. Well, consider the source here, Fox News. Consider the narrative. Consider who is a paid member of the criminally insane sex cult, Rupert Murdoch. And his sons, Molech and Bale. They're card-carrying members of the criminally insane sex cult. And they report, then-Vice President Joe Biden is from a foreign national exchange of money for policy decisions. The document at the FBI has been generated details the arrangements. While the arrangements in detail, the FBI actually has the proof, is what they're reporting here. This is a significant development as far as the Biden administration, wouldn't you say, Mr. Blah, blah, blah? Hunter Biden. Okay, I just can't even. The story closes here, the Fox News story. Hunter Biden has been under federal investigation since 2018. And you read that and you're thinking, yeah, but his dad was actually installed as the president after that. That's weird. In fact, Fox News was the one who called the election for his dad the night that night, you know, when they stopped counting. It was just really weird. I mean, it just seems like there might have been some shenanigans. Anyway, Fox News and the Republican House, by the way, investigating these allegations against Hunter Biden and Joe in the obvious influence peddling and bribery. I mean, the guy should be in jail. All of them should be in jail. It's obvious. But Fox News and the Republican House members, who are the guys who are Chuck Grassley and Comer, I don't know his first name, Jim Comer or Jeff Comer or Chuck Comer, James Comer, is that it? They are all either willing or incompetent players in a sad kabuki charade weird theater event that's happening right in front of all of our eyes. And it's orchestrated by the aforementioned criminally insane sex cults that has just, they're hell-bent on collapsing America. And so I don't know if it's the end times. I don't think it's the end times. In fact, I know it's not the end times, at least not for the universe. But for America, meh, probably. So I'd say it's 90-10 that, yeah, the end of America is imminent. 90%, yeah. 10%, we might get out of this somehow. All right, so further down deep into the dark crevices and ravines of the death cult file, we have the New England Journal of Medicine. That's right. The formerly prestigious peer-reviewed journal from Boston, the New England Journal. An article suggests that students, medical students, should be segregated by race. That's the New England Journal of Medicine. Yeah. Uh-huh. The researchers argue that medical education is, quote, founded on legacies of colonialism and racism, unquote. So there's no way any medical doctor actually believes that. There's just no way. There's no way any medical doctor writing for the New England Journal of Medicine actually believes that. It's just that they feel like they have to say that in order to maintain their position and their income. I mean, we just watched all of Western medicine collapse in a matter of moments into dark ages, hysteria, and superstition over the COVID. We just watched it all happen. It was astonishing how fast and how complete. All the medical professionals who we thought were smart and competent, they just collapsed into utter supine, superstitious hysteria. And they're willing to do the same thing for the BLM and for the Antifa. In fact, this was actually published in the New England Journal, which makes my blood boil. Medical education has historically centered on white learners, and it continues to perpetuate structural racism. Immersion by people of color can therefore be re-traumatizing. unquote, sorry. University of Southern California School of Medicine dean of surgery said that merit is a, quote, hateful idea in surgery. Merit is a hateful idea in surgery. He said, whilst at the same time holding in his own mind the knowledge that were he to go in for surgery, that he would want the surgeon qualified by the most merit. So he doesn't actually believe this. He's just a weak technician. He is a carnal, weak technician concerned more about his next meal, not his next meal, his next BMW. What could he be more worried about than the future of medicine? What could the dean of surgery at the USC School of Medicine, what could he be so worried about that he's willing to sacrifice the integrity of surgery for what? The next promotion, the next meal, the next dollar, the next BMW? Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. It's so good to have everybody with us as we... So I don't mean to insult any medical doctors who might be in my audience, but I've worked with doctors for 20 years. Anyway, you were impressive at one point, but not so much anymore. Sorry, doc.
Not all.
No, certainly not all, but the vast majority. Almost all. I'm trying to think of any doctors in my immediate orbit who didn't collapse into hysteria. And I can't think of any that I know personally.
The Fox News, the Siegel guy. Ah!
Jeffrey Siegel at Fox News? Talk about a guy with no integrity. The guy was hysterical. The guy was rubbing chicken bones together and hiding under his desk in March of 2020. And now he wants to come off as if, get out of here, Siegel. No, we remember. All right. Now, let's go. Let's go from there into the justice file. This is serious news, folks. NPR reports. That's National Public Radio, by the way, and I don't listen to them. I only see some things that are typed up on my alternative websites now and then. They report that murders across America are going unsolved. That's right. It's in fact, the average murder solve rate, they call it the murder clearance rate, has fallen below 50%, and it's stayed there since 2020. It's a new historic low, and in many big cities like Chicago and other hellholes, the murder clearance rate is below 30%, meaning if you kill somebody, there's a 70% chance you'll get away with it, at least in this life. Now, NPR points out that this could worsen trust between police and the public, especially in communities of color. Why does NPR say that? Because they say that about everything. So you can pretty much ignore that part. The part that's important is there's a 70% chance in a big city you can get away with murder. That's pretty scary. Do we need to go into any more of what? Well, maybe just for fun. NPR says reasons behind the drop are multifaceted. Getting away with murder is driving a kind of doom loop. A doom loop. Where a lack of arrests undermines deterrence and sends a message that the police will not or cannot protect the people, especially people of color. Meaning that's who they will not. We know who they are. Anyway, I'm making some of that up, but only a little bit. Most of it is just the natural, the bleeding heart racism of NPR. So what's the actual story here? Because it's certainly not NPR's opinion about anything. But the real story is there's too many murders happening. There's too many murders to be properly investigated. Uh-huh. And while NPR can just imply that the police just will not protect communities of color because obviously they're all racists. And they can imply that the police cannot protect the white patriarchy even though they want to. The fact is that we're living almost in a war zone. There's more people being slaughtered in America than most of the countries like at war right now. So, I mean, NPR, they would love to just say it's time to start being afraid, Whitey. Uh-huh. That's right, Whitey. It's coming to your neighborhood now. Well, that wouldn't be an NPR. NPR would go, that's right, Whitey. It's time to be afraid. It's time to start being concerned, Whitey. But you know what the real truth is that the problem is easily solvable by simply beginning to try and execute murderers in just reasonable fashion, that's all. And the murder clearance rate would skyrocket to near 100%, and the murder rates would collapse. But that's not what they want. And when I say they, I mean the criminally insane Marxist sex cult that has seized the government that's run by Barack Obama. People always say, well, conspiracy theorists, they say they, but they don't know who they are. Well, I'm telling you who they are. They are Barack Obama and all the people he controls in the Democrat Party and in the Republican Party, by the way, a good bunch of them. And everyone else tied into the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and everyone who was rubbing chicken bones together and hiding under their desk and acting like the COVID was something that we never saw before. All of them, everyone in medicine, all of them, the New England Journal of Medicine. I'll name names. I'll tell you who they are. And until the blood runs in the streets of their gated neighborhoods, this is only going to get worse. And I'm not calling for anyone to shed their blood in their neighborhoods. I'm just saying that until they are actually threatened with the violence that they are condoning and facilitating, it's only going to get worse for us out here outside the gates. And what they don't realize, the Obamas, they don't realize that even behind their gates in their super protected neighborhoods, they're not going to be safe from this kind of thing. They're not going to be safe from the bloodbath. They think they are, but they're incorrect. Okay, so now, speaking of Barack Obama, let's talk about homosexuality. Yes. What? No, I'm not implying anything. I'm just saying that the headline I have here is somebody claimed that they were being attacked in a very homophobic way. This is from Yahoo News, which is, I believe, the AP. And it's a report on what Marjorie Taylor Greene said to Randy Weingarten. Randy Weingarten shut down all the schools across America for the better part of 2.5 years. She was the head of the American Federation of Teachers, I think. They were the ones claiming that the kids were going to kill them. Well, we go to school, the kids are going to infect us, and we're going to die. And so they locked down the schools. Well, now she's claiming that she didn't say anything like that. She didn't want the schools locked down. It was just anyway, so she tries to sidestep what she did. Marjorie Taylor Greene calls her out. And according to the AP, Ms. Taylor Greene's passions were expressed in a very homophobic way. Because it turns out that Randy Weingarten, who's in charge of the union of the teachers educating all your children, she's a homo. She's a sex pervert. Oh, who's a member of the criminally insane sex cult? Okay, how about Randy Weingarten? I'll name a name. There, she's one of them. And she's in charge, did I mention, of the union and teaching your kids? Your kids, okay. Anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene, during testimony, repeatedly noted that Weingarten is not a biological mother, a seeming reference to the fact that the 65-year-old creepy, creepy American Federation of Teachers president is married to a woman, allegedly married to a woman, since that can't be true. We'll put in the allegedly there. She's married to a woman named Sharon, who's a rabbi. I want to kill myself. Are you kidding me? A rabbi? Okay. All right. When I say I want to kill myself, that's hyperbole. I don't actually. It's just after reading that line, you almost want to stick a gun in your mouth. You realize that the head of the teachers union educating all of America's children is married to a deviant pervert rabbi, and you're thinking, surely this is the end times. Anyway, the dyke rabbi sat behind Weingarten during the hearing. Okay. So I'm sorry if dyke offends you, but if these people are going to put their perversion in my face, I'm going to put it in their face. And those of you who send your kids to the government schools, I'm going to put it in your face. You got a creep psycho dyke married to a creep psycho dyke rabbi. And they've achieved a higher, they've ascended to the highest levels of power in American culture. It's disgusting. It's creepy. It's scary. It shouldn't be tolerated by any of us. Anyway, Weingarten said of Green, she was attempting to dehumanize me. I've been working on that myself by becoming an old, creepy, ugly lesbian and marrying a psycho rabbi. I thought I had all the dehumanizing to myself. Weingarten claims she's been forced to travel with a security guard ever since someone called her the most dangerous person in the world because she was locking down all the schools. She says Green's exchange in the public has resulted in a flood of vile emails, and believe me, she knows vile. Does the creepy, ugly, nasty, really creepy Randy Weingarten. Just a creepy, ugly, weird, nasty, yuck. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that Weingarten should not have had any say in the reopening guidelines as regards to schools because, quote, she's not a medical doctor, she's not a mother, and she's not even a teacher, unquote. Which you can see why these people hate Marjorie Taylor Greene. because, I mean, that was one of the most accurate statements ever uttered on Capitol Hill in, like, the last 30 years. Anyway, listen to this. Kleinbaum, who's the dyke rabbi, she has two daughters from a previous failed marriage. And as far as I could tell in my research, the only person Kleinbaum was ever married to was another dyke. So where the two kids came from, I'm not sure. Because even the Wikipedia page on the rabbi dyke doesn't mention her daughters, first of all, at all. Doesn't mention that she has daughters, which is kind of odd. Nor where and whom might have been involved, I mean the man. Because there had to be a man involved at some point. As uncomfortable as that is for the pile of sex perverts and dykes running the judiciary and the schools and apparently the synagogue, where at least where this dyke is. She's like the lead dyke. A rabbi at an actual synagogue, for crying out loud. Anyway, as uncomfortable as it is for all of you, there had to have been a man involved for there to be two daughters. If they even exist, because nobody told Wikipedia, which is really weird. I'll assume that the daughters exist somehow. And through no fault of their own, is their mother a psychotic rabbi dyke destroying the world. That's not their fault. So from there, let's go to San Francisco, where we can step over the homeless and the piles of feces and urine and try to go into Nordstrom's and then find out, nope, Nordstrom's is closed. Why? Because they're all too scared to go to work. That's right. We have a report here from Fox Business News. Nordstrom will not renew its lease for its San Francisco Nordstrom store, nor for the Market Rack across the street. You know how Nordstrom is, right? They got the high-end store on the one side of the street, and then the same clothes 3 weeks later, you can get them at the Rack across the street for 30% less. It's been a good business model, except when you're too scared of dying to go to work. You're scared of being robbed, raped, beaten, or murdered, and then you can't go to either one of the stores because you're afraid. And so they're going to shut down, and we have a statement here from, this is just emblematic of the new speak. So since the criminally insane sex cult insurrection of 2020, there has been a new paradigm in how you're allowed to talk about reality. And if you want to keep your gig and you want to keep your income and your position, you're not allowed to speak about reality truthfully. That's the one cardinal rule. You must not speak the truth about reality. Otherwise, you could lose your position. You could even lose your job, which, as we know, losing a job is always the end of the world. Always for everyone. Everyone who's ever lost a job, it's been the end of the world. They've always get a tailspin into suicidal thoughts, and they end up under a bridge hooked on heroin. Everyone who ever lost a job. So heaven forbid we should ever do anything that might cause us to lose our job. Anyway, listen to what the spokes-whatever for Nordstrom says. She asked, why are you shutting down your stores? She says, but as many of you know, the dynamics of the downtown San Francisco market have changed, impacting our ability to operate successfully. So dynamics there. So she should have used words like filth, murder, mayhem, assault, robbery, pillaging, rape. Feces. That's what she should have said, but instead she said the dynamics. Because she's not allowed to say the truth. To say that we have to shut down the store because all of our workers are terrified. And the people who come to shop there, they can't take it anymore. And so nobody shops there anymore, so the store is going broke because the city is falling apart. It's descending into the third level of hell. But she's not allowed to say the truth for fear of offending those orchestrating the terrorizing of her own employees. She's not allowed to say it because her job is more important than the future of civilization and her children. And most importantly, honoring God. She doesn't even know who God is. Does God sign my paycheck? No? Okay, well then, so? Yeah, all right. Okay, so let's go now. Let's leave San Francisco and wipe off the poop off our feet. And we'll go into the criminally insane file where radical leftist insurrectionists stormed the Texas state capitol last week. They were mad that the legislature there was considering a bill to regulate the mutilation of children, to put some limitations on the sexual mutilation of children. So the leftist insurrectionists stormed the Capitol. Now, fortunately, the Texas State Police beat them, handcuffed them, and threw them in jail. So that was something encouraging out of all this. The fact that the police would actually knock people down, insurrectionists, these leftist, Marxist, crazed maniacs. So it was nice to see the police actually putting handcuffs on people. The insurrectionists unfurled banners in support of child mutilation, and they chanted, "Trans rights are human rights. Trans rights are human rights." At which point, a cop kneed them in the groin and handcuffed them and threw them in jail, which is appropriate. The bill that was under discussion that incensed the maniacs, the bill would ban gender reassignment surgeries for children. That's right. And so you want to hear the sad fact, folks, is that this is actually a win for the adversary. Because the devil will take that. The devil will take that. If the legislature and the people responsible for governing will simply accede to the idea that such surgeries in and of themselves are not criminal, in any case, the devil will take that. That's a win for him. If you're willing to write in law that we just can't sexually mutilate children, you're basically implying that it's okay to do it with adults, and the devil's like, okay, I'll take that. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney, and thank you for getting through that. So from there, that's the Texas legislature. From there, we go to the Navy. From the Queering of America file, the Navy has enlisted a drag queen to appeal to a wider range of potential troops. Yeah. The drag queen, by the way, is an active duty sailor. First Navy digital ambassador whose goals are to attract the most talented and diverse workforce. Has that ever really been a problem in the Navy? I mean, the Navy's always been full of queers. It's well known, for crying out loud. Churchill said, he was asked what makes the Navy go, and he said, sodomy, rum, and the lash. Sodomy, rum, and the lash. I mean, it's been obvious. But the thing is they used to be quiet about it, right? You know, there was even some, you know, some Navy men were offended when you brought up the fact that it was well known that the Navy was full of queers. You know, the straight ones, which was most of them, for crying out loud. But now they're open about it. And this is a civilization-ending event. When the drag queen is the recruiter for the Navy, and yeah, that's... And for all you Navy men out there, I feel for you. Don't worry. Because there'll be a tranny, or what do they call them, a drag queen? I get them mixed up. We said, is it a tranny? Is it a drag queen? Is it a transvestite? What am I allowed to say? How do we describe it anymore? I'm not sure. But they'll have one in dress blues before you know it. Don't you worry. They'll do it. And they'll come for the Army. They'll come for the Air Force. I mean, they're already coming for the third graders, for crying out loud. All right. And we must resist. We must resist. We can't allow this to happen without some significant fight. And I'm talking about civil disobedience. And I think at this point, just not saying that you like it, I think that's civil disobedience, because that's not allowed. You have to say you like it. Not only do you have to shut up about it, that was the 1990s. Now you have to march in the parade. You better put on the ribbon. Okay, now, reason number 2028 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Up in the Saucon Valley School Board in Lehigh Valley, which is, it's in America, I'm not sure exactly where, but it could be any town. In fact, just insert the name of your town here, okay? And the name of your town school board is now obligated to allow a Satanist club to rent space at the school. Why? Because the ACLU brought a lawsuit. And the school, a judge made issued an opinion, a federal court issued an opinion that the after-school Satan Club could meet at the school. The ACLU said the school had to allow it under their policy of allowing groups to rent space. So because you allow groups to rent space, you have to allow any group to rent space, even the criminally insane. People who claim to worship Satan are included in people. And so the schools, naturally the school board, instead of, they should have resigned en masse and said, we will not participate in this. But then they would have lost their jobs. And as we know, losing your job is always the end of the world. And so we want to salute the school board for having the courage to be in fear for their job. That's true in true American tradition, especially since the COVID, when everybody abandoned everything for fear of losing their job. That you'll go down in history as perhaps the greatest generation. So now the Satanists, let's see here. Oh, because the ACLU said, hey, there's other religious groups that rent space. So naturally, Satanists too, right? And everybody said, yeah, of course, of course. The judge says the sanctity of the First Amendment must prevail. The judge declined to force permission slips to be sent home to the families of students wishing to join the Satan Club. So that was the crux of the lawsuit, was that the school board was going to allow the Satanists to rent, but they were going to make sure that parents knew if their students attended, which that in and of itself is all right. But I guess it's some effort. Anyway, so is there anything out of the 1962 Supreme Court case Engel versus Vitale stated that the state cannot hold prayers in public schools, even if it is not required and not tied to a particular religion. And that was 1962. And lo and behold, 60 years later, Satan is at the school. Satan himself, they summoning up the beast. They got the pentagram and the candles and the chicken blood and everything. So next thing, they'll be sacrificing kindergarten girls on the altar to Baal right there at school. I know that sounds crazy, but give us another 60 years. Okay, now we have Victor Davis Hanson from amgreatness.com calling the left the new ugly Americans. He says the left once decried American imperialism, but now they appear to be the greatest imperialists of all. He notes at how when we left Afghanistan, there was an LGBTQ flag flying from the Kabul embassy. As we were tucking tail and running, the rainbow flag was draped over the front of the embassy. There was a George Floyd mural prominent on the city streets of Kabul as we ran away. That's right. American foreign policy, says Hanson, seems now to hinge on that country's position on transgendered and LGBTQ acceptance, their acceptance of abortion, their worship at the altar of climate change fear, their insistence on allowing for multiple pronouns on passports that you can check off, and of course, showcasing as many transgendered ambassadors as possible. That's how you get in America's good graces anymore. And then, after decrying how sad and embarrassing all that is, Hanson says this. This is Victor Davis Hanson, who's considered the last bastion of conservatism in the media, I think. Or at least the elder statesman of conservatism. He says, quote, do Americans really believe that embracing drag queen shows at military bases, abortion to the moment of birth, transgendered men competing in women's sports, and eliminating the internal combustion engines are the types of policies that upon which our allies' good graces should rest. Is that really what Americans believe? And to Victor Davis Hanson, I just want to say, I want to admonish you that what you just wrote is a victory for our adversary. The devil will take that. It's a win for him. He'll take it. He's gotten Victor David Hanson to move the so-called pro-life position effectively to just moments before birth. That's what you just wrote, Vic. Abortion to the moment of birth? So Victor Davis Hanson has now moved the goalposts for the devil from the God-given right to life to moments before birth. In fact, now that Victor Davis Hanson, the elder statesman of the right, has condescended to write that for us all, the God-given right to life isn't even on the table anymore. How do we know? Victor Davis Hanson said so. It's the moment before birth that's offensive. And so the devil will take that. He'll take what he can get, and he'll circle back for more later, Vic. And you'll be there to give it to him because I don't know why. What's wrong with you, Victor David Hanson? Victor Davis Hanson, I apologize. Don't want to mispronounce the elder statesman's moniker there. Very sad. Let's go now because that was a little bit depressing, right? I mean, who wants to think about that? So let's go to the incompetent Antichrist file where we find Kamala Harris, I'm going to deem her the incompetent Antichrist. That's right. So our adversary is hell-bent on demolishing anything associated with Christ. Our adversary is fueled by the spirit of Antichrist, but fortunately, Kamala Harris is such an incompetent Antichrist that we're holding out. We're holding out to some degree. She was addressing President Ferdinand Marcos of the Philippines. When I read that, I was like, the President Ferdinand Marcos is, what is it, like 1983? Well, it turned out it's Ferdinand Marcos Jr. He met with Kamala Harris for some reason. I can't imagine why he would want to do that, but he did. And here's what she said, quote, "We have been able to continue to do the work that we believe is a priority around our mutual prosperity and security. We discuss the importance of a clean energy economy. You and I share our passion as it relates to what we must do in terms of continuing to work together." Unquote. I mean, we're just lucky that she slept her way into this position because her incompetence could be the last thing preventing the collapse of Western civilization, is that she's too stupid to actually carry it off. We'll hope for that. All right. Now, meanwhile, did you hear about the founder of Cash App stumbled bleeding to death through the streets of San Francisco, and there was all kinds of commentary around it. And I haven't talked about it because I just didn't know what was going on. I wasn't sure what to think about it, except I was sad that a guy with a couple of kids and a wife got butchered on the streets of San Francisco. I was sad about that, but I mean, that happens every night in San Francisco, every other night at least. So, and I'm not that impressed with that he's a Cash App, whatever. That certainly doesn't make it newsworthy. But now it does appear newsworthy. Listen to this. Nima Momani, 38-year-old tech entrepreneur, had confronted Cash App founder Bob Lee about Lee's relationship with Momani's sister. That's right. The confrontation took place a day prior to the stabbing when Momani demanded to know if his younger sister was doing drugs or anything else inappropriate with Lee. And then Lee denied it. Well, then the next day, on the night of the stabbing, Momani allegedly drove to a dark and secluded spot where he attacked Lee with a kitchen knife, stabbing him 3 times, once in the heart, the fatal blow. An autopsy of Lee has shown alcohol, cocaine, and ketamine in his system. So I thought it was a married tech entrepreneur, whatever. I don't know about this guy, Bob Lee. I thought he was married. Turns out he's at least divorced or separated, something like that. And so this other guy finds out, you're hanging out with my sister. You're giving her drugs. What are you doing to my sister? And the guy whose sister's being defiled gets upset and stabs the guy to death. It's not that unusual of a story. And I'm interested to know exactly what was going on here. And I'm sure it'll all come out in trial. But it turns out it's not so much that the streets of San Francisco are overrun with murderous, derelict, maniac, homeless bums. That's true. That was as true the day before Bob Lee got knifed as the day after. That it's scary in San Francisco because some deranged homeless maniac might assault or kill you. That's absolutely true. But this turns to be this story turns out to be related more to the rampant sexual immorality, drug use, and just general debauchery in the tech community in San Francisco. And I guess that's all I've got to say about that. Meanwhile, let's go now. The late night shows, you know, the writers out in Hollywood have gone on strike. And so shows like The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and The Tonight Show starring someone named Jimmy Fallon. And then there's other shows that I'm not familiar with. The Late Show with someone named Seth Meyers. And then The Daily Show with someone named whoever. Anyway, all of these shows, they've gone into reruns. That's right, because their writers are on strike, you see.
You cannot do it.
Well, no, now they say they don't want to cross picket lines because they honor the union faithful. They want to give a present a unified front in the labor dispute. But the fact is, they can't carry off even a half hour of material on their own extemporaneously off the top of their head. Even if they had the news in their hands that they could read, and then they could say a joke about it, or say something interesting about it, or maybe say something edifying about it, right? They can't do it. They're incapable of reading the news and speaking about it in a way that's interesting to anyone. And certainly not in a way that makes anyone chuckle. Or even snicker. Not even a ha. Nuh-uh. They can't pull it off. So anyway, they got like... Kimmel's probably got 15 guys writing material for him. And he probably berates them on a daily basis. So that's... They're lucky to not have to go in and get to get their disrespect and berating at the hands of the likes of Jimmy Kimmel and Billy Fallon, or what's his name? Fallon. Seth Fallon, Billy, Jimmy Meyer, Seth Fallon, Dolce, Colbert. I don't know any of these people. Let's see, do I want to do... Oh, finally, let's close with Paul Stanley and Dee Snider. So Paul Stanley posted up on Twitter saying this: there's a big difference between teaching acceptance of gay, homosexual, LGBT, all that perversion, right? There's a big difference between teaching acceptance and encouraging participation in a lifestyle that confuses young children as though it's some sort of game that parents allow. So Paul Stanley basically said he has some reservations about sexual mutilation of children involved in the whole trans thing. Paul Stanley posts this up. Dee Snider posts up a little bit later, "Hey, I'm glad my parents didn't jump to any rash conclusions." "Well said, Paul Stanley," says Dee Snider. Okay. Yeah, and then Stanley goes on a relatively incoherent pathway typing, as, you know, he's never been exactly a master of philosophy or even the English language. I mean, his tweet reads at a sixth grade level. And I mean a sixth grade level from 1979. And the sixth grader would have been a moron. That's his tweet. Anyway, conservative outlets and commentators, they fell all over themselves to publish praise for these two deviant scum leftists. These guys are accomplices to more death and damnation of my generation than anyone at the CIA, the FBI, the Deep State, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Soviets, all the Democrats, or any of the other evil people in the world. I lived it. These guys were cultural influencers before there was such a term as influencer. And what did they preach to my generation? Sin and death. And my generation bought into it, and a lot of them died. They're moronic, deviant, untalented perverts, and all their material is produced by someone else. I appreciate Matt Walsh came on after Stanley recanted, by the way. Stanley backed off his position. And Walsh said, this is why I didn't rush to praise these guys. They're cowards. They can't stand firmly. And this dude is 70 years old and rich. What does he have to lose only? Pathetic. Absolutely, Matt Walsh. Dee Snider and Paul Stanley, you're pathetic. If I ever thought either one of you were cool in any way, it's because I was young and stupid. That's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. Should Lord Terry will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you. Faded out.